salvation, and end times. That's today's topic on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging As we study the Word together, know that we're connecting on our website as well, tewonline.org, launching a wonderful Pray for Your Spouse series. Check it out online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton. The
Encouraging Word. God's Word teaches us about a 1,000-year reign and that Jesus will be in Jerusalem during this time. What do these things mean? We're trying to ask ourselves, why would these things be put in Scripture? Does God want us to sidestep these issues? The theme of eschatology is very simple. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be encompassed in this one phrase, that Jesus Christ was, that He is, and that He always will be totally victorious. That's what this is all about. Well, this week, God spoke to my heart once again. And we are in Matthew 24, and I want you to open your Bibles with me. God spoke to my heart about the most important subject we could ever talk about, and that is salvation. Because we have some major predicament here. There are things that are happening today that are totally unique. They've never happened before. There are many other things that are going on. They get my attention. Some people would say to me, well, Pastor, how significant is Israel? Israel is very significant. We talked about that last week. I don't believe that you can understand Scripture completely and the fullness of Christ and the finished work of the cross if you don't understand His relationship with Israel. Some people would say to me, well, Pastor, does that mean to say that Jesus is about to come in the clouds, as He said He will? Does this mean, in our own phrase, that the rapture of the church is about to happen? I'm going to say yes, possibly, but then possibly not. Possibly because God can do this anytime He wants. Possibly not because no man knows. But I want to make an announcement to you this morning. It is possible that Jesus could come in the clouds today. The rapture of the church could happen right now. Now, I've personally asked the Lord if He wouldn't mind waiting until sometime tonight because I want to know who wins the Masters. Did I say that? I mean, the Lord does say, let your requests be made known unto me. But you know something, folks? If indeed Jesus were to come again today, may I announce something to you? I'm ready. Why? Because I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus. And I'm so glad to tell you today that you can be ready too. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your heart and life to Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to say, it doesn't matter if He comes tonight, I'm ready. But there again, He may come 1,000 years from now. When perhaps you and I are nothing but an honorable mention in some textbook. Where generations from now, my great, 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 great grandchildren look back and say, do you know I once had a grandfather? Those poor people who knew nothing about nobody. Do you know they actually went to church when there was no air conditioning on? Can you believe that? Do you know they actually drove things called motor cars? We fly around in private little jets. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter whether it's 2,000 years from now or if it's this afternoon, I win. You know how I win? Because Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be totally victorious. Amen? I have won, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ in me. Now, I have a problem. My problem is this, that I'm a saved man and all of us can come to know Jesus. But somewhere in the Bible keeps talking about tribulation saints, and I have a great problem with this. I thought there was only one way to get saved. How can people get saved during a time at which the Spirit of God has been removed? I've come to discover that those people are going to get saved exactly the same way as I'm going to be saved, and the exact same way that I am saved. It's through the finished work of Jesus upon the cross. I have discovered that the tribulation saints are going to be washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that incredible? Well, that's what's happened to me. We have been washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why is this significant in this study in Matthew chapter 24? I want you to take your Bibles and look here with me. Just a few verses. Verse 21, Jesus said, "For then there will be." Obviously, there is a chronological sequence following the abomination that causes desolation. "Then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, never to be equaled again." Now listen to this. "If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect." Evidently, during this time, there are going to be people who occupy exactly the same status that I occupy today before the coming of the Lord. I am one of God's elect. I am one of God's elect because I am one of the whosoevers who have put my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I have become one of God's elect. Now watch what happens. All of a sudden, after the church is gone, after the Spirit of God is removed, all of a sudden, there's a group of people who can become partnered in the same status that I am in. And numbered among those are going to be some of the Jews. Let me make an announcement to you, my friends. The Jews do not have a special dispensation. God has not changed his mind. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great expositor of the Word of God, put it like this. He said, "Every time I open the book, I make a beeline for the cross." This book has to do with the cross. Everything from Genesis to Revelation. It was the Apostle Paul who said, "I save to know nothing among you, excepting Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And the finished work of Jesus upon the cross is no different for me today than it will be for those who have been left behind. Now I want you to stick with me today. We're going to look at this in two perspectives. Number one, those who come to know Jesus Christ before He comes in the clouds. I'm talking about you and me in the church age. As we live today, those in the future before Jesus comes for His church. How do we get saved? We're going to ask four questions. How, when, what, and who? First of all, how do we come to know Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible teaches us very clearly three ways. Number one, by repentance of sin. Acts 3:19, amongst others, "You and I cannot come to know Jesus Christ unless we're willing to repent of our sin." The prophet said, "It's not our arms, it's not our ears or our eyes, it's not that God's heart has not been plucked out, it's our sin that has separated us from God." It was the sin of Adam. The Bible says, "In Adam all die." Here it is. "But in Christ Jesus, all of us are made alive." Right there, pointing to the sufficiency of the cross. And so when I come to know Jesus, if I'm a saved man, I must repent of my sin. And repentance, the word there in itself means, and Bible teaches us, repentance means that I've been willing to acknowledge my sinfulness in the presence of a holy God, and I have practically turned away from my sin and walked in the opposite direction. Number two, I must be willing to confess to Jesus. Now, confession is an interesting thing. Have you ever confessed to someone? "I'm telling this person that I've offended, I'm telling them, listen, this is what I did, and I'm confessing." That's what Jesus requires of us. We have to confess. Number three, faith. Faith, my friends, Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. He says, if you, listen to this, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I have a problem here. Because I struggle as a human being to understand how that a man who is God could come to this earth, be born of a virgin, that really is just something beyond me, and then would be crucified, would die, would become graveyard dead, would be put in a grave, would be totally stone dead for 3 days, and then suddenly come back to life. Now, folks, no matter how you shake that, and no matter how spiritual you are, from a human perspective, we cannot understand that. So how do we understand it? By faith. I don't understand that. I accept that. I take God at His word. Three requirements. How am I saved? Prior to Jesus coming again? Repentance, confession, faith. When am I saved? Here's the next question. When? Well, there are three broad categories in the timeline of salvation according to us. Number one, many people come to Jesus when young. I served as a professor for many years at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Every single class I had in evangelism that I taught, I would ask the students, I'd take a survey. How many of you came to know Jesus Christ at a young age? Folks, without fail, I'm telling you, it was 90, 96%, 98% of every class. If I did a survey here today, we would find the same. Do you know that the majority of people who come to know Jesus Christ at a very young age? Jesus put it like this. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven." Many people come to know Jesus at a very early age. Number two, some people come to know Jesus when adults. Some do. We know that here at First Baptist Church, week by week, day by day, we see people who are adults who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the timeline of salvation, there are few people who come to know Jesus when they are senior adults. Now, I want you to note the descending order here. Many, some, and few. It is a statement of fact that the older a person comes, the less likely they will give their heart to Jesus Christ. You know the latest statistics? One of our ministers shared with me this morning, the latest statistic in church growth is that approximately only 1 in 65,000 senior adults would give their hearts to Jesus. Now you might say to me, well, Pastor, why is it that older people are less likely to give their hearts to Jesus? Well, there are many reasons. The older you become, the more set you get in your ways. Older people tend to be far more reluctant to change. And if an older person has grown up continually hardening their heart against the Lord, by the time they get to senior adult level, their hearts are like stones when it comes to spiritual things. Do you know that many senior adults work hard all their lives and finally get to the point at which they've made their fortune? Senior adults, they've made it. Many of them are retired. I know many senior adults that have done very well. God has blessed them. Here's what the Bible says. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Why? You go out into Spartanburg and go to a wealthy man or lady today and say to them, "I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you without Jesus, you're nothing. I want to tell you Jesus is the only one who can give you an abundant life. Jesus is the only one who can provide for every need. Jesus is the only one who can complete your life, can fill that void." And that rich man will look at you and say, "Excuse me? I don't need this God. I don't have this. Listen, I've got a motorhome. I've got a home down at the coast. I go to the Masters Golf Tournament. I go fishing. I go traveling all over the world. I go on cruises. I travel all over the place. I've got plenty to eat. I've got children. I've got grandchildren who are educated. I pay for them to go to the best schools. And you have come to tell me that I need God?" Well, I know many senior adults who have lived a life in absolute poverty. Absolute poverty. And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're a senior adult and you've spent your entire life in poverty with nothing, scratching, making ends meet, wondering where your next check is going to come from, how you're going to get your meal, how you're going to educate your children, how you're going to live, and you come to the end of your life and somebody walks into your home and says to you, "I want to tell you about Jesus," they are going to stand up and say, "What about Jesus? Where has he been for the last 70 years? You got the audacity to tell me God will, well, where is God? I tell you my greatest passion, and I say this to our young people, my greatest burden in my life is the number of teenagers that I meet who say symbolically, if not practically, Pastor, I don't need to give my life to Jesus. I'm just a teenager. I want to go out there and have a good time and do whatever I like. And when I get older, I'll give my heart to Jesus. Please don't do that. You have just taken step number one, A, in sinning away your day of grace, and B, you have just begun to walk down the road of a hard heart. I'll guarantee you, my friends, there are senior citizens today ad infinitum who will have no problem going to the Masters Golf Tournament and spending everything that they've got and standing in the ball stadiums of America, but they don't want to have anything to do with this God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with me to the football stadiums of America. I'll show you booster clubs in which there are senior adults who have no problem standing there and screaming and supporting their team and paying money and going all over the place. But the moment you mention the Lord Jesus Christ, no way, no way. The game is over. We've got work to do. There are too many people who don't know Jesus Christ.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the completion of today's message, Salvation and End Times, with Dr. Don Wilton. But as I mentioned earlier, if you're interested in the 31 days of prayer for your husband or 31 days of prayer for your wife, they are wonderful resources on our website right now at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, what happens to you and me when we give our lives to Christ? Two things. If we die before Jesus comes, heaven becomes our home. If we're still around when Jesus comes in the clouds, heaven becomes our home. That's what you call win-win. You win. If you die, you win. If you're still alive, you win. I want to tell you about a win-win program. I want to tell you about a God who is about win-win. I want to tell you something, my friend. In Christ Jesus, we are made completely complete. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a Savior. Well, what about those of us who live in this day and age? Well, we've got a problem. Because the Bible apparently, and we struggle over these things. There are friends who believe that there is only one coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe that. I don't fall out of fellowship, but I want to tell you that I believe as your pastor with all my heart and with a passion that the Bible is abundantly clear. What happens to those who are left behind? Well, let's look first of all at the rapture. Turn with me to Revelation and chapter 4. Just one of those passages. Revelation chapter 4. I want you to note the opening state here. The Bible says, after this. After what? Well, in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, we have the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia. I believe very clearly that God's speaking to the church age. And then the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is described in the first three verses of chapter 4, amongst other passages. But I just want you to focus on this. John says on the island of Patmos, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. By the way, where's heaven? Anyone know? Thank you. We're getting a lot more response. How do we know this? The voice said, come up here, and I will show you. You ready for this? I will show you what must take place. Listen. After this. Now watch this, folks. From this moment on, John has been snatched out. He's been taken up in the Spirit. He finds himself in heaven sitting before the throne of God. And the Word of God says, I am taken up out of this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me in verse 2 was the one upon the throne in heaven who was seated upon it, and there follows a description of it. Verse 6, also before me and the throne was what looked like a sea of glass. And the interesting thing here, my friends, is the incredible dichotomy between heaven and earth. From this moment onwards, right throughout the book of Revelation, there is a very clear description of the events that unfold in heaven and the events that occur on earth. And it is very clear in Scripture that in heaven are gathered all the saints of God around the throne, whereas upon earth is the activity of the evil one, the Antichrist, and all of those who have been left behind. How do these people come to know Christ? Now, we've already talked about it. Just want to remind you. Number one, they are compelled by the events of the rapture. You say to me, Pastor, what does that mean? God forbid that there is someone here today who, after this service, you still do not give your heart to Jesus. And let's assume that tonight Jesus comes and the church is taken out and you're left behind. I will guarantee you, tomorrow morning, you are going to believe every word that you've heard today. I'll guarantee you won't need a church, you won't need a preacher, you won't need anybody. You'll be walking around tomorrow. The deceit of Satan will be rampant. God will send great blindness upon the earth. And I tell you, God is going to allow Satan to be unleashed in a way that you and I cannot even begin to describe. But the Bible says there are some people who are not going to succumb to the Antichrist. You are going to believe in Jesus Christ because of the events of the rapture. Oh yes, you walked out of church on Sunday and said, I'm not giving my heart to Him. I'll do it next week. Tomorrow morning you won't have any problem. You're going to face the worst suffering and torture that is ever known to mankind. Number two, the witness of the 144,000 in chapter 7. You can read about it. Third way, the tribulation saints come to know the Lord as the witness of the two witnesses. Go to Revelation chapter 11 with me. Bible is very clear about this. The Bible says in verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses. And they will prophesy for how long? For 1260 days. This is not a figment of imagination. Bible says if anyone tries to harm them in verse 5, these men have power in verse 6. In verse 7, now when they have finished what? Their testimony. What is a testimony? A testimony concerns the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city. How do we know this is going to be in Jerusalem? Because the Bible says so. In the streets of Jerusalem, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Some people say, well, the great city isn't Jerusalem. Well, excuse me, where was the Lord crucified? Folks, we've got to study Scripture. God's Word speaks. Now watch this, verse 9. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, and language, and nation will gaze upon their bodies and refuse them burial. Here it is. The inhabitants of where? Where? The earth. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them, will celebrate by sending each other gifts because the two prophets had tormented those. They say that we're going to get those preachers. Folks, I know some of you won't necessarily understand this, and I don't mean to be all weepy and puffy over this thing, but I want to tell you, when you're a preacher, there are some people who are out to get you just because you're a preacher. I could stand here and tell you some of the greatest sob stories you've ever heard in your life. I've had people over the years, just recently had something, just because I'm the preacher. Well, that's what's happening. Boy, we're going to get these. We don't like that. That's confrontational. I don't like, we're going to get them. Bible says that. But look what happened in verse 11. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life of God entered them. They stood on their feet. Terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. I love that, don't you? Come up here. Well, how are people during this time going to be saved without the Spirit of God? Events of the rapture, 144,000, the witness of two witnesses, the resurrection. What about the witness of the angels in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6? The Bible says, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim. Folks, God's Word teaches that during this time that it is the Holy Spirit who completes this work. Well, I've got news for you. During this time, God gives permission to His angels to proclaim the gospel. I believe in a sovereign God. And if God is sovereign, God can do whatever God wants to do. Well, when will all this take place? During the seven-year tribulation. Go with me very quickly. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. Just going to read you a few excerpts. Revelation 6 and verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Go to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from? And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How am I saved? Because of the blood of the Lamb. How are they going to come to know Christ? Because of the blood of the Lamb.
You've heard from Dr. Wilton as he's been teaching and preaching from the pulpit, but now as he steps into the studio, open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just were praying with Dr. Wilton to change your life by giving your life to Jesus or rededicating your life to God, we have wonderful resources Dr. Wilton wants you to have for free if you'll call us. The number's 866-899-WORD. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. 866-899-9673. We'd love to give these free resources to you. You can meet us on our website as well, though, at tewonline.org.
My book, Saturdays with Billy, is about an extraordinary relationship with a precious man who impacted lives across the world. You don't want to miss this opportunity to be inspired by his life too.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow. The happiest funeral ever is tomorrow's topic on The Encouraging Word.